I'm sorry. I pretend I just snapped out of a daze. My head must still be in the case I was working on, I lie. The answer seems to satisfy him.
What kind of a case is it?
It didn't take long for us to get on the topic of work. It never does. I should be happy we have our work in common, and he's someone that understands what I do, but work is pretty much all we ever talk about. It's an unlawful termination of employment case. I latch onto the first case that pops into my mind. Luckily, the waitress comes back and sets down our drinks and asks to take our order, giving me more time to think of something interesting from the dull case that I just told William my head was stuck in. The waitress leaves, and an older couple approach our table.
You're Bill Harper Jr., right? Bill's son?
The gentleman extends his hand with a friendly smile.
It's William, but yes, I'm William Harper Jr.
I've heard him correct dozens of people over the last few years. I've always wondered why it bothers him so much to be called Bill or Billy, that he feels the need to correct people. I mean, when someone uses a nickname, it's meant to be friendly, isn't it? William has the polite manner in which he corrects people down to a science. Somehow, it doesn't come off as rude. It's telling that I wonder why it bothers him, yet never ask. The two men chat for a while, and in less than 10 minutes, William manages to solicit the guy's legal work, and the man promises to call the office the next day. The way he does it doesn't come off as sleazy ambulance chaser type speak. William is smooth and professional. It probably comes naturally to him, being his father, grandfather, and brother are all lawyers too. We finish our dinner without interruption, and our conversation is easy and natural. It's been that way since we met in our last year of law school. We clicked instantly, and I would categorize him as one of my closest friends, if I wasn't sleeping with him once a week for the last 18 months.
I rented possible cover. I was hoping you'd want to come back to my place after dinner.
It's just like William to rent the latest action movie, which he will most likely despise, because I am an action movie junkie. William is more of an artsy Woody Allen type movie person. Can I take a rain check? I see William's face wilt slightly. This is the second week in a row that I'll be cutting our date off after dinner, and before sex. I have to be in the office at 6 a.m. to prep for a deposition. I feign disappointment in my voice as yet another lie flows freely from my lips. I'm not sure if he buys my excuse, or if he's just too polite to call me on it, but I don't care. I'm not in the mood tonight. The last few months, our sex life has become a challenge for me, although William doesn't seem to have any idea. It's not his fault, either. He has good equipment, and it operates well, for the most part. But I've been having trouble getting myself to my happy place during our nights together lately. Maybe that was part of the problem. If I wanted a happy ending with William, I had to get myself there. He just doesn't seem to be able to get me there on his own anymore. So I seem to have become one of those sex once a week women who have to fake it, and I'm not in the mood to fake anything else tonight. Chapter 2. My co-workers at Millstock and Rowe are an eclectic group of people. William and I did our internship here in our last year of law school. After graduation, William went on to his father's Madison Avenue type law firm that was started by his grandfather more than 70 years ago. The firm is well established and caters to the elite advertising industry. Leonard Millstock, the namesake in Millstock and Rowe, offered me a position as a junior associate at the end of my internship, and I happily accepted. William and I don't disagree often, but we argued quite a bit when I had decided to stay at Millstock and Rowe. He didn't think it was a good career move to take a job with such a small, unknown firm. But I was comfortable there, and Millstock allowed me to do work that most junior associates at a big firm could only dream of getting their hands on. That was one of the perks of working for a small place, and I thought it outweighed the low salary and lack of prestige. William, on the other hand, thought the scale tipped completely in the opposite direction. Salary and prestige were high on William's career priorities, not so much on mine. Morning, Regina. I smile at the receptionist as I walk into the office 15 minutes past the official start time of 8. No one seems to care that I'm perpetually late.